Sermon today is based on a reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And Paul writes, "We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love." Thank you, God, for the spirit of wisdom and enlightenment that permeates your word. We've been looking at verses all this year that encompass and encourage our growing and thriving. When you think of growth in the context of the church, what comes to mind? Do you reflect back on the heyday of not only this church, but numerous churches all over when the pews were full and there were vibrant, well-attended Sunday school classes and weekday service and lots of children and youth running around creating joyful chaos? When there were membership teams and plenty of deacons and elders and ushers, and the church was respected and seen as a haven and a pillar of the community. Are you nodding and thinking, yes, those were the days? We often throw out the phrase, we want to grow our church in board meetings and other conversations, but what exactly does that mean? Well, most of the time we mean we want more people to come to worship. Is a noble ideal worth striving for, but does that truly indicate thriving? Are we envious of other local churches with huge active youth groups and boisterous praise bands and, let's just say it, more money than we have? It's a human thing to think growth and thriving can only be measured in absolutes such as attendance numbers and how much is in our bank account. But growth and thriving can happen in other immeasurable ways. And when we look at these standards, we can stop feeling sorry for ourselves and keep our eyes on what matters: our spiritual growth, our deepening devotion to God, our quest to find what God wants us to do with just what we have, and then doing it. That can't be measured numerically. Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, is talking not about growth that can be quantified, but growth that happens in other ways that we can't always see. He's talking about growing spiritually, becoming ever more Christ-like, taking on Jesus's wonderful, endearing, and enduring attributes, growing together in support of one another, not lamenting what we've lost, but celebrating what we have, and striving to be appreciative and inventive and attentive to what God would have us do next. Paul tells the Ephesians and tells us to work together to build ourselves up as the body of Christ and to do this in love, to pull together and fill in those gaps we see, to take on new tasks and try new things to make up for what we see as absences and atrophy. To grow up in every way into Christ, we must look at his life and instill in our hearts and our lives those things that made him so accessible, so approachable. When we read the stories of Jesus' life, we might focus on his miracles of healing and feeding thousands of people with some loaves of bread and fishes, and we might dismiss our own abilities to do such wondrous works, but we can also look at other aspects of his life, how he welcomed and accepted everyone, how he listened to and loved all who approached him. He interacted with so many people whom other people shunned or sneered at: lepers, tax collectors, prostitutes, all downtrodden people of his time who came to him seeking what he offered: love, mercy, acceptance. We have opportunities to do the same things, to offer love and mercy and welcome acceptance to others. It's not so hard to do. The people in need of love and mercy and welcome and acceptance are all around us, right within our reach. I know there are people in our own village who are leery and wary about church, wondering what kind of reception they might get if they dare to venture inside our sacred doors. Who would we turn away? Who could we turn away? In these wrathful, wrenching days, a church can indeed be a haven, a garden, if you will, of rest and comfort and growth for people who feel pushed aside. Indeed, that is what a church needs to be. There are plenty of people who need a respite from the noise of the world telling them they're wrong and hopeless and doomed, and they will never find a place in the garden of God, never find a place where they can grow. And we know that isn't so. Look at us. We're here in this particular godly garden ourselves. God's garden is big enough for all kinds of plants and flowers, not just one kind. God has given us many different types of flowers because God loves diversity and color and variety. God didn't create just roses and daffodils. God didn't just create pine trees and elm trees. God's creativity is evident not only in the natural world, but also in the human beings God has placed in the world. God expects they will all find a place to grow and bloom and blossom and become all that God wants them to be. So our aim as a church is to grow into that kind of garden where people can find comfort and rest and welcome and acceptance. Our aim as a church is to be a foreshadowing of the beautiful, bountiful garden God is bringing us back to. We remember in the center of the Garden of Eden, God placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and also there was the tree of life. Jesus is a form and symbol of those trees. Did you ever think of Jesus as a tree? Think of him as a tree we want to grow up to be. Paul says he has shown us how to speak truth in love, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. And so our aim as his followers and as God's beloved children is to grow in the knowledge and wisdom and love that Jesus demonstrated and has promised to pass on to us. Grow, grow, Jesus says to us. Don't stagnate, don't berate, don't dissipate. Grow, grow, God says to us. Up above the standards of the world, reaching for the sky like a redwood tree. Grow, grow, in the likeness and the power of Jesus Christ. Grow tall, grow strong in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Let it fill your heart and fill your life until it spills over and washes away all your fears and tears. Paul starts his letter by admonishing his readers not to be impressionable children, to not let themselves be drawn away from the life lessons of love they've learned by every wavering and whimsical wind. For there are people out there who want to confound and confuse us, who want to trick and trap us, who want to wrest us away from the solace and safety of God's love. We need to be watchful for these types of people. We need to be wise and call them out and let them know we're hip to their tricks. Yet while we're not called to be childish, we are still to be childlike, believing and trusting and finding astonishment and joy as we lean ever more upon God and strive to be more like Jesus. Being childlike, not childish, means willing to be taught and eager to learn and share what we've learned. Being childlike, not childish, means we never give up on wonder. We never exchange unadulterated awe for cynicism. It means we embrace enthusiasm and delight in delight. It means Paul urges us to stay anchored in the truth so those wild winds won't make us wilt and wallow and lose focus and hope. Stay steady and strong with your roots firmly planted, those roots that are helping you withstand anything that tries to uproot you. I read a review this week of a book about a girl who climbed into a closed golf garden like a thief and suddenly found her place and purpose in life. The reviewer wrote, "People, like plants, only want to find a place where they can thrive." How very true that is. People want to find a place where they feel safe and encouraged, a place where they can grow to be their best selves and glorify God. What a wonderful ideal for a church to strive for, to become a place for all the lost and weary and weary to come to, a place where they can find their plot and their place, a place where they can hear their own angels whispering over them, "Grow, grow," and where there are others around them to help them accept that challenge, even as we have accepted it. We will never be done growing until we are once again in the garden of God. But this is where we prepare ourselves for our transplantation into the garden we so long for. So come, grow, grow. Let us pray. God, here is where we prepare. We prepare the soil of our hearts for your tending and your love. Help us grow ever closer to you and ever more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.